So a few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after Mass, we have our weekly novena to St. Peregrine for all those who are fighting cancer, for the consolation of their caregivers. Also, I remind you this weekend, after all the Masses, we'll be distributing the preparation books for the consecration to St. Joseph. That consecration, the preparation, has to begin on Monday, February 15th. Now, Monday happens to be President's Day, which means our church will be closed, the office is closed, we won't have public Mass. But we still have our holy hour on Monday evening, 7 to 8 p.m. Confessions are available. So if you're able, what a great way to start the consecration, the preparation for the consecration to St. Joseph. You come to the holy hour and do your first preparation, your first reflection in preparation for that consecration. So that's one idea, right? If not, you can just do it at home. But make sure this weekend that you get the book. It's a great book that will guide you through the 33 days or so to prepare for that consecration. We are having a special Mass on Friday, March 19th. It's the Feast of St. Joseph. We don't usually have Mass on Friday, and certainly we don't usually do it on Friday nights. But we're going to have one just for St. Joseph, 7 p.m. on March 19th, so we can make the consecration. You can come in person. It'll be recorded and available by live stream. We really want to make sure that we do this preparation and that we're able to make that consecration to St. Joseph as a parish family. Again, I remind you that Monday is a holiday, and this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So our schedule, we have Mass at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., and 7 p.m. Our 11 a.m. and our 7 p.m. will also be live-streamed. In terms of Stations of the Cross this year, it was a hard decision. But as I looked at the staff and what we're able to do, for this year here at Our Lady of Grace, our stations will be available by live-stream only. So they'll be available every Friday at 6 p.m., you can participate at 6 p.m. or sometime later at your convenience. It's not ideal. We'd love to have the stations in person, but we're going to do them by live stream. And I hope, it's not ideal, but I hope that maybe from that, perhaps the stations can grow in greater popularity among the households of our parish. So that's what we're going to do. Of course, on Good Friday, we will still have the stations in person, of course, on Good Friday. But I just want to make you aware of our Lenten plans as we approach that holy season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. It's one of those feast days where you just have to feel good. The feast is so tender and so compassionate. There's such a spirit of kindness that surrounds the feast day. That every time you think of Our Lady of Lourdes, no matter what's happening, you can have the worst day of your life. You think of Our Lady of Lourdes, you think, all right, relax. Our Lady's got this. We can understand that we have a loving mother who constantly takes care of us, is constantly looking out for us, who constantly wants the best for us. And we can trust her as she leads us to a greater devotion, a greater worship, a greater love of the Lord Jesus. I've shared with this story with you before, but when I was a younger person, I hiked with some friends all through Europe. It was an amazing experience. I would not recommend that today, but at the time it was relatively safe, or safer. And one of our stops was in Lourdes. So you can imagine four 20-something-year-old young guys stopping in Lourdes in order to do the baths. And I remember the bath. First of all, it was awkward. Practically had to strip down to everything, right? Had this little loincloth. The water was freezing. They're the French, okay, right? But it was a powerful experience nonetheless. Everything, all the logistics were just awkward for our American sensitivities. But once taking the baths and coming out of those waters, I remember they held a little statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary coming out of the water, and they shoved that statue right in your face, kiss the Virgin, right? And kissing the Blessed Virgin Mary after coming out of the waters, just feeling that complete renewal and rejuvenation. Of course, later I had to be careful because I almost got a cold. It's not my luck. I go to Lourdes, I come back sick, right? Powerful experience. But let's look at the message of Our Lady of Lourdes. What did she teach little Bernadette? What does she want to teach each of us? Those 18 visits of Our Lady to this young child. What is the lesson? Lessons are actually very powerful. In fact, from yesterday's homily, I received several emails from people asking, Father, you say I have to give 100% to Jesus, but I don't even know what that looks like. What does it mean to give 100%? How appropriate that today Our Lady will be able to answer that question. What does Our Lady teach us about giving 100% to the Lord Jesus? What did Our Lady of Lourdes teach us? First and foremost, a total and complete love for Jesus Christ. That means we completely give our whole selves to Jesus. We seek for no other pleasure or comfort in this world other than that given by the Lord Jesus. So the first question we can ask in the spiritual life is, where do we look for our comfort? Teresa of Avila once convicted herself and said she found more consolation in a hot cup of coffee in the morning than from her early meditations. And she sought to reorder her affection and to seek to find in the grace of God the same comfort or more comfort in Christ than she was in a cup of coffee. Creature comforts of this world, they kind of sneak up on us. We start thinking we need something else. We have to identify those, order those. It's good to appreciate the good things of the world. But to make sure that our comfort, our consolation, our hope is in Christ alone, that's the first thing that has to happen. If we seek to give 100% to the Lord Jesus and to truly follow him. From there it flows that we have to acknowledge our vocation. Please, children of God, acknowledge your vocation. Because your vocation is the prism through which all other means of holiness must be interpreted. A religious woman cannot seek to be holy as a married woman is, nor a married woman as a religious is. A holy widow cannot seek to be holy as she was when she was married, or a widower when he was married. We have to acknowledge the vocation to which God has called us and to which we are now a part. Look at the richness of that vocation. To love Christ with 100% and then acknowledge the vocation he has given to us, that portion of his vineyard, the portion of his kingdom, which on the day of judgment we will present back to him. Lord, this is what you have entrusted to me, and this is what by your grace I was able to do with it. What is your vocation? Anything that distracts you from your vocation, diminishes your vocation, takes your heart away from your vocation, is not of God. No matter how objectively holy or good, if that distracts you from your vocation, it is not of God. I remember one saint writing in his spiritual journal that he would wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and have these great illuminations, great ideas. And he would start writing them down. But then he would be so tired that he could not properly fulfill his duties of leading prayer or to show the charity of his state in life. And he realized that all those great ideas were from the devil. And so whenever he was starting to wake up at 3 or 4, he would refuse to get up and he refused to write down the ideas given to him, and said he would force himself to go back to sleep. And then he could wake up refreshed in order to lead the prayers as he should, and to preach as he should, and to care for souls as he should. We have to love Christ and acknowledge where our comforts are. We have to acknowledge our vocation. And then there's all the other parts of the Christian way of life, which we can draw from Acts chapter 2. 5 main marks. First, we have to stay close to the sacraments. If you're coming for daily communion and you haven't been to confession within the last month, you're wrong. What are you doing here at this altar? Wrong sacrament. If God can allow you to come and receive Holy Communion on a daily basis, you should feel the compunction and the call, the conviction, to regularly go to confession. Because contrary to what some Catholics think, the confessional and the altar are intimately connected. And to seek to have one without the other is an aberration of the Christian way of life. So we stay close to the sacraments. We receive Holy Communion as best we can. It grieves me as a pastor when I see parish leaders who are so energetic and so fired up for their particular ministry, And I know that they're retired, but I never see them at daily Mass. Daily Mass. How can you fight for a kingdom of a God you do not know? And how can you labor and sacrifice for a kingdom of a God that you refuse to worship? Do we understand the power we have? That we can receive Holy Communion almost every day. And to those who are retired, who have time, or those who are working, their schedules permit it, you should regularly find the extra time, in order to come even to daily Mass. And to those who feel a call to church service, to lead a ministry, or to organize an outreach, they should feel as called to be at this altar as they called to be in the mission field. So you have to stay close to the sacraments. And I'm going to throw the anointing of the sick in there. If you're over the age of 65 and you're not regularly receiving the sacrament, why? Why would you abstain from that sacrament? Do you realize the grace that Mother Church is offering to you? I am very tired as a pastor where people ignore the sacrament until the last hour. First, because I may not get there, but secondly, because they could have been receiving the grace throughout the entire dying process. A grace that can heal not simply soul, but I have personally witnessed and can testify that that sacrament can even heal the body. We have to stay close to the sacraments. We have to pray. You know St. Alphonsus Liguori? And this is quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The person who does not pray cannot be saved. Because if you're not praying, God is a stranger to you. And when God is a stranger, all his ways are strange. We must pray according to our state in life, but we must pray. Sacraments, prayer, study of the sacred scriptures. I think we've spoken enough about that here at Team Grace. I think every parishioner here at Our Lady of Grace very clearly knows the expectation of our Christian discipleship to study and know the sacred scriptures. Fourth is holy fellowship. I know there's a challenge right now with the pandemic, but holy fellowship can happen in your home. How many Christian teenagers describe their home as a hotel? They don't even see mom and dad. Families don't even eat together anymore. Understand your vocation. Claim your mission field. Families should be together. I'm delighted and uplifted when I hear that members of our parish have met in each other's homes. I know of one group of holy women who meet periodically for movie night. That's the way we do things. Holy fellowship. If we hang out with the unbeliever, if we fellowship with the unbeliever, we will begin to think and act as the unbeliever. This is why we must surround ourselves with Christians, fellow believers, who understand what we are called to do and how we are called to live, what we watch and what we do not watch, whom we support and whom we should not. Holy fellowship, and then their service to the poor. My goodness, dear friends, outside of the sacraments, there is no clearer face of our Lord than in the face of the suffering. To go to someone who is afraid, or who feels isolated, or abandoned, and to be the face of Christ, and to see that face of fear or isolation turn into hope and warmth and welcome, that's a sacramental. That's a reflection of God's presence in that moment. We Christians, if we want to give Christ 100%, if we want to pursue the path of holiness, our lives must include some outreach to those who are in need. This could be members of our extended family, people across the street. And if we can't meet in person, then we can certainly use email or phone in order to reach out to people. If our life is only about ourselves, only about our immediate circle, and we're not reaching out beyond that, then we're not living out the full Christian life, and we are not giving the Lord Jesus 100%. You know what's interesting is I describe these five I remember years ago as I was giving a similar talk and describing these five marks drawn from Acts chapter 2, someone said to me, and they were very honest, and they were not even as clear, they didn't realize how transparent they were being. They said to me, they said, wait a minute. If I do all these things, like I'm giving Jesus everything. And they were kind of surprised as if that was somehow an argument against what I was teaching. See, exactly. Exactly, the Christian way of life is exactly about giving the Lord Jesus 100% my life for Christ. If this is just a hobby for some, or an opportunity to receive some type of therapeutic euphoria because they're having a bad day, or they decide to come because they have nowhere else to go, or because they want to show off their new clothes, then they are misguided and following a wayward path. Because the church is for those men and women who have freely heard the call of the Lord Jesus, who desire truly to give him 100%, to lay down their lives in order to follow and love him, and to come to this place in order to receive God's grace, his strength, his power, his life within us, in order to do it well. I've said it before, and I pray you hear. If you don't come to this altar a little tired, battered, and spiritually bruised, then you're not living the Christian way of life very well. Because Jesus wants everything, 100%. It starts with an unconditional love for him, an acknowledgement of our vocation, and then those five steps given to us from the scriptures of how to pursue holiness. Our Lady of Lourdes made 18 visits on our planet among the children of God in order to remind us of these truths. Because Our Lady knows of the horror of hell and the consequences of sin. As she also knows the glory of paradise and the dignity that was won for us in Jesus Christ. And she wants us to be with her and with her son forever in paradise. But we have to be willing to say yes. We have to allow ourselves to be made fit for the kingdom of God. We have to allow God to make us worthy of such an inheritance. As we celebrate this Eucharist, we ask for the intercession of Our Lady of Lourdes, so tender, so supportive, so consoling. We ask for the conviction to once again resolve to seek in our own lives, according to our state of life, to give Jesus Christ 100% and to follow him wherever he leads us and to give him all that we have.